Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf nun gimel in Menachos. Okay, check it. Nandalit. We're back on nun gimel, so that led me to thinking it is. But we're going to cover today nun gimel. We'll cover Nandalit. Not all of Nandalit. I don't think we'll make a full recoup of our loss, but we'll still cover a good amount. We started the fifth parak of Menachos yesterday, and it's a new topic. And it's a topic of chametz, of fermentation. So the Mishnah starts off with the basic rule, called menachos boz matzah, when it comes to every mincha. So all menachos come from matzah. Now, of course, we know when it says all, it doesn't mean all, but most menachos come from matzah, and there are two exceptions. But there's an iser chametz, just like Pesach, there's an iser chametz when it comes to making a mincha. In the preparation of a mincha, it's going to be flour, it's going to be water, it's going to be oil. And the three of them are going to be mixed together, but it's going to be done in a process in which it's not allowed to ferment and the dough is not allowed to rise. And it may be thick, and it's going to, in some cases, it could be as thick as a tefach, porch as thick, but nevertheless, though, there will be a prevention of it becoming chametz. And there's an issur in the Torah of allowing it to become chametz, and there's an issur in the Torah of eating it chametz. Okay, all of which we started the discussion yesterday. We're going to come back to the halacha in just a moment. We have a little bit of agadita to do right now. Agadita is at a premium when it comes to the mesechtos of Zvachim and Menachos. Just not a lot of agadita. It's very heavy halacha, very heavy lamaisa, practical halacha. Although when I say practical, we're talking about the Beis Hamikdash. But it's very, very halacha-oriented gemaras and not much agadita. So here we are now. Just a little bit of agadita before we go back to the Mishnah. And we discuss some of the halachic aspects of the Mishnah. We're on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are towards the bottom of the page. And it's the story started yesterday with a visit by a Rebbe Ezra, who was the grandson of Rav Avtulas, who is 10 generations direct descendant of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and who is in fact 10 generations a descendant from Ezra. So in other words, 20 generations, he could trace his lineage, 20 generations, and he goes back to Ezra Sofer. And certainly wouldn't be shocking that his name is Ezra, meaning this Amora. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah, he's got the Ezra in his name. And 20 generations before him was Ezra Sofer, who came back and rebuilt the Second Temple. He went to go visit a Rebbe Preda. And before he went to go visit Rebbe Preda, he gave him like a whole, you know, here's my yichus. And he gave him his whole family tree, and Rav Preda says, I really don't care. Literally, that's what he says, I don't care. If he's a Ben Torah, good. If he's a Ben Torah with lineage, that's just as well. But if he has all that yichus, but he's not a Ben Torah, so then what am I interested in? And it was rough, and it was a harsh way to deal with him. And he saw that he actually deflated Rebbe Ezra a little bit. And then in order to pump him up a little bit, to make him feel a little better, so the two of them started talking in a little bit of agadita. We start with the pasuk in Tehillim, L'kadoshim. Let's start from the beginning of the discussion. So pasuk v'yamar, we are on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are before the lines become wide, three lines up from there. Make it four. Pasuk v'yamar, Marta laHashem Adoni Ata Tovasi Ba'alecha. So now the Gemara starts darshaning this pasuk from Tehillim. Amar Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam Hachzek Li Tova Shehoditecha Ba'Olam. Right, like we're waiting for the good to come. So Amalah, so he says, Tovasi Baal Alecha Eini Machzik Tova Ela La'Avram Lizchav Yaakov Shehodi Ani Tchila Ba'Olam. I'll give you good, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not in your merit, but rather in the merits of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because they started broadcasting me into this world. Shenem l'kadoshim asher ba'aretz heima v'adiri kochav tzebam. Okay, so the based on the pasuk, l'kadoshim asher ba'aretz, for the holy ones that are on the land, and for the adirim, and for the strong ones, the mighty ones, and the adirim over here is a reference to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay. Kim d'sham d'kamer adir pasuk v'yamar. So now Rabbi Ezra, so he hears drasha, and he responds, meaning Rabbi Preda is speaking his language. And so now he responds back in drasha as well, and he says, Yavo adir v'yiparela adirim, me adirim ba'adirim. Okay, and the pasuk says, right, the mighty one should come and make seek retribution from the adirim, on behalf of the Adirim, from the Adirim, using Adirim. Okay, obviously extraordinarily cryptic, and he explains each part. Yavo Adir Zekarash Baruch Hu. So the one, the Adir should come, that's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Diachsiv Adir Bamarim Hashem. Vayifra Le Adirim, and seek retribution on behalf of the Adirim. Elu Yisrael Shenemar Vayadir Kol Chafzei Bam Me Adirim Elu HaMitzrim. And who is he protecting us from? From the Adirim, that's the Egyptians. Diachsiv Tzalu Ka'oferes Bimayim Adirim. Okay. Pasuk actually is referring to the water, not referring to the Mitzrim, but there is a connection. And ba adirim elumayim shenamra mikolos mayim rabim adirim mishbariyam. Okay. More of this type of discussion. Yavo yadid ben yadid v'yivne yadid li yadid b'chelko shel yadid v'yizkapru bo yadidim. Okay. Another tongue twister. Yavo Yedid Zeh Shlomo HaMelech. The Yedid should come. Yedid is a reference to Shlomo HaMelech. Tichsiv Vayishlach B'yad Nasan HaNevi. Vayikra Shmo Yedidya. His name is Yedidya. Ba'avur Hashem Ben Yedid. The top of the next Amud. The son of the Yedid Zeh Avram. Tichsiv Mali Yedidi Bevesi. What is to the Yedid in my house? We're going to come back to these Psukim in Yirmiyahu. The Yivne Yedid, and build the Yedid, that Beit HaMikdash, Chesim, my Yedidus, Meshkenosecha. Li Yedid, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, the word Yedid and Hashem's name is not that far off from one another. The word Yedid is Yud Dalet, Yud Dalet. Hashem, you just simply attach a leg to each of the Dalets, and you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Li Yedid, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chesim, Asher Ana, Li Yedidi, Bechalko She, I'm sorry, Li Yedidi. Okay, the chelko shell you did in the portion of you did ze binyamin. Shenema levinyamin amar you did Hashem yishkan levetach alavis kapur bo you did them, and the you did them and the beloved should get a kapara eli. So that's the reference to bnei. So dechsev menasatis you did does nafshi bekayf oyveham. More of these sayings. Yavotovi kabotov mitov letovim. Again, same basic idea. Yavotov ze Moshe dechsev ateraso kitovu. When Moshe was born, he saw that it was good. Right? Rashi brings out in Chumash that the house was illuminated with light. Ve'ikabel tov zetorah dechsiv kilakach tov nasati lachem. Moshe gets the Torah. That also is referred to as tov. Mi tov. He gets the Torah from tov. Zekarish baruch hu dechsiv tov Hashem lakol. Kadosh Baruch Hu is good to all. Okay, should be familiar with that pasuk. That pasuk is from Ashrei. Okay. La tovim elu Yisrael. Dechsev hatova Hashem la tovim. Okay, more tongue twisters. Yavo zeh v'yikabel zos mizeh la'amzu. Yavo zeh zeh Moshe. Dechsev ki zeh Moshe ha'ish. Okay, Moshe is alluded to with the word zeh. V'yikabel zos zu Torah. The word zos is a reference to Torah. Dechsev zos ha'torah. Asher sa Moshe. Mi zeh zeh kash baruch. Dechsev zeh keli v'anveu. La'amzu to this nation, Elisosha Namar Amzu Kanisa. Okay. We quoted just a moment ago Psukim from Yirmiyahu. So the Gemara now will take a step back, quote Agadata on these Psukim from Yirmiyahu, notably the 11th parak of Yirmiyahu. Amar Rav Yitzchak B'Shar Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Matzah Kosh Baruch Hu La'avram Shaya Omed B'Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So the Gemara now, this is as agadic as it gets, the Gemara talks now about the destruction of the temple. From this drasha, it's not clear whether it's talking about the first or second temple. Presumably, if it's reported to us by an Amora, it's probably the second temple. At the time when the Kadosh Baruch Hu destroys the temple, Matzah Kadosh Baruch Hu La'avram Shu Omei Beveis HaMikdash. So Avram is in the Beveis HaMikdash. Okay? Amalo Mali Yedidi Beveisi. So he says, what is my beloved doing in the house? That's a citation from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we quoted just a little bit ago.
Avram.
Avram Avinu, meaning, what is that? Avram, what are you doing in the house? Amalo al iske bini basi. I'm coming over the matters of my children. So Amalo banecha chatu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Avram and says, your son sinned. Vigalu, and therefore I'm going to send them vigalus. Amalo shema bishogeg. Chatu. So Avram Avinu does what Avram Avinu does. Right? He's good at this. So he did, right? So he did this with stone. We saw him do this with stone as well. Like, you don't have to destroy the temple. Maybe they sinned, but they were shogeg. inadvertent. So Amar lo asosa hamizimasa. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take these psukim from Yirmiyahu, and we're going to insert Agadata in the psukim, meaning we're going to understand these psukim as part of a dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram Avinu over the destruction of the temple. So the pasuk says, Asosa hamizimasa. They did a mizima. They did it intentionally, they did it deliberately, they knew what they were doing. Amlo shema mi'utam. So Avram says, okay, fine. Some of them sent. So shema miutachatu. Amalo harabim hayalach. So I'm sorry, harabim. So the response that Akash Baruch gives to Avram is no, it's not true. It was a lot of them. Hayalachalos kor bris mila. So Avram Avinu says, okay, but what about bris mila? Again, not shocking that Avram Avinu is referencing the bris mila. That was a mitzvah that was given to him. Right, he started the mitzvah. So Avram Avinu says, maybe we can talk in terms of bris mila. That by itself should be enough.
Is that not Brit Abasarim?
It's also part of, maybe alluded to in Brit Abasarim, but the Gemara says specifically bris mila. So Amar lo ubasar kodesh ya'avru me'alecha. They passed by that as well. So, right, the answer he gave is that they weren't engaging in bris mila. Amar lo shema im hamtant lahem ayu chozim b'tshuva. So Avram Avinu says, okay, so what about a little bit of patience, right? We don't speak this way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, generally speaking. We're not that forward, but Avram Avinu feels very comfortable. He says, so maybe a little bit of patience, right? The Jewish people may come back. Yeah, give him a chance. You know, Amar lo ki rasicha az ta'alozi. They're bad az ta'alozi, and they enjoy their badness. Meaning, I don't really see them coming back. Okay. So Avram Avinu, who hears now the fate of the Jewish people and hears that the second temple is going to be destroyed, so places his head into his hands. He would scream and he would cry. Amar lo shema chas v'sham elam takana. So Avram Avinu says, okay, so what's going to happen now? Yatsa Baskal v'amr. So the Baskal comes out and says, Zayas ra'anan yafei pri tor karashem shimcha. So going back to the Pesukim in Yirmiyahu, he says, you are a olive tree. Yafei pri tor, your fruit are beautiful. Karashem shimcha, God called out your name. And the direct comparison of the Jewish people to an olive tree. Mazayzu acharisu besofo af Yisrael acharisam besofon. An olive tree takes a long time, but after, even though it does take a long time, though eventually it will bear fruit. Rashi, in fact, Rashi is all the way on the top of the Amud. Zayin ra'anan smoch la'ukra demali yididi. Right near the psukim of Mali Yedidi that we quote above in Yirmiyahu, so you have the psukim of Zayid Ranan. Rashi, next Rashi, Zayid Achriyaso B'Sofo, Shenatu Achsha Ve'eno Sofo Ve'eno To'ein Adzman Gadol. It takes a long time for an olive tree to bear fruit. Anyone plant an olive tree in the back? No? Eddie, you have one?
No. Not yet.
I know, it's coming.
Not in this weather.
So, Toin Peros Harbe Lishna Achrina Sheinuz Basha Ma'at Ma'at Kishari Lanos Ela Besofa Kulan Yachad. Or Rashi says another pshat that an olive tree does not bear fruit a little bit at a time, but rather it will come as one clump in the end. So the comfort that's given to Avram Avinu is the Jewish people are like an olive tree, meaning right now doesn't look good, but eventually they'll bear fruit. Pasuk says, "Lekol hamulan, lekol." I'm sorry, "Lekol hamulah gedola, chatzisa eishala varu dal yosav." A great voice, a fire, verau dal yosav, and its branches were broken. I'm Rabbi Chinana bar Papa. Lekol molem shemeraglim nisrau dal yosav shal Yisrael. Because of the call, the voice, and the voice over here is a reference to the meraglim, who came back and gave a report about Israel, and it was not a good report about Israel. So because of that, the branches of the Jewish people have snapped. because it wasn't just a bad report about Israel, but Davar Gadol Dibur Meraglim. They said something mighty, meaning they said something extraordinarily powerful and not in the positive way. Ki chazak hu mimenu. They say they are stronger mimenu. Now, mimenu in Hebrew can be interpreted one of two ways. Mimenu could mean from us, meaning the simple way to understand the pasuk is that they are stronger than us. But mimenu also in Hebrew means stronger than him, capital H. Al tikre mimenu ala mimenu. It's interesting. Usually the al tikres mean we're going to change the reading. Here, it's not really the case. We're not changing the reading. The reading will be identical. It's we're going to change the meaning. So mimenu, instead of understanding the word to be interpreted as more than us, mimenu more than hen, kaviyachos shafilu balabais, and yachol ahotzi kelav misham. It's as if to say the balabai is the owner of the house, meaning a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who owns Eretz Yisrael. It's like he can't even get rid of the Canaan from the land. That's what the Meraglim were saying. Maskev l'arvchia barchina ha'lekol amula gadola l'kol mila mibayelei. The wording of the pasuk shouldn't say kol hamula, but rather kol mila, right? The voice of the words. So elam alokash baruch la from kolech shamati vechamalti aleihem. Kadosh Baruch Hu's response to Avraham: I heard you, and I have chemla, and I have compassion over the Jewish people. Ani amarti yishtavdu ba'arbe malchios kol achas va'achas. Kishir Arba Malchios. Right, there was that. Now we go back to the Brisbane and Basarn. At the Brisbane and Basarn, so Kadosh Baruch Hu made a promise to Avram Avinu that they're going to be subjugated for 400 years. And it seems from our Gemara over here that the original plan was 400 years for each one of the Dala Malchios. But Hashta Kochada Vechada Mai De Pasik Le. But now, based on Avram Avinu's petitioning to Kadosh Baruch Hu, each one of them is going to be for a number, but it's not going to be not necessarily that long period of time. Now, it's interesting. We say that, and we've now been in exile for 2,000 years, right? Right. That's a lot more than just the 400 years predicted. Okay, so that's going to require... Okay, that's... I'm not saying I have a full understanding. Or I was going to tell you one after one, and now it's going to be in one swoop. One last piece of Agadata before we go on with the Gemara of Yeshua ben Levi. Lama nimshulu Yisrael azayis. Okay, the comparison of the Jewish people to olives. Lama lcham azayis ain alav notion lo biyamos chama v'lo biyamos shamem. Olive trees do not shed their leaves. They have their leaves on both seasons, winter and summer. If you saw Elam Betelus Olamas Lobalamas Evalam Hababa, so to the Jewish people, they have kiyum, they have sustenance, they sustain themselves both in this world and the world to come. Amrav Yochanan Lama Nimshali Solazayas, another piece of Agadata. Why are the Jewish people compared to olives? Lamacham Azayas Enomotzi Shmeino Ela Aliyah de Kesisa. Yeah, how do you get the oil out of the olive? So you got to crush it. If you saw in Chozer and Lamutav Ela Ayyid Yisurin, and the same thing was with the Jewish people. You want to get them to be good, so they need a little crushing. Okay, not that
anymore.
We don't need it anymore. We're done. Right. We're good.
Sure.
All right. Adkan Divrei Agadata, that is the Agadata of the Gemara that took us off course, and it started with a visit by this Rebbe Ezra to Rebbe Preda, and once they started speaking in Agadata, so then the Gemara just spent almost a full daf of Agadata. Okay, but we're done with the Agadata. Now we go back to our Mishnah, we go back to the Halacha. Okay, good. Okay, and the end of that Agadata was not that exciting. slightly depressing. Okay, the Mishnah started off Kol HaMenachos Baos Matzah Chutz Mechamesh Shebetoda Ushtei Alechon Shein Ban Chametz. Okay, so the first thing that we learned back in the Mishnah, the beginning of the fifth parak, is when it comes to Menachos, every Mincha, with two exceptions, cannot become Chametz. So that means that there cannot be a fermentation process. Okay, And then the Mishnah says, okay, but let's talk now about the two exceptions. The two exceptions are the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos, which we're counting down to, and the 10 loaves that are brought in a carbon toledah, and they need to be fermented. Okay. Now, we talked yesterday briefly about this fermentation process requires, it takes time. Basically, what you're waiting for is for the water and the flour to interact with one another, and it starts fermenting. After spending a little bit of time together, it starts fermenting. In the good old days, nowadays we have yeast, and yeast really speeds up the whole fermentation process. So back in the good old days, how did they get that fermentation process going? They used sourdough. Sourdough is pretty straightforward, pretty simple. It's basically, they let a little bit of dough sit there and rot. And yesterday I said it was a bacteria. I was corrected afterwards. It's more of a fungus. So it's a... But basically, now that you have that dough, which is now rotted and all that good fungus growing on that dough, you throw it, you take that little bit, you throw into a batch of dough, and that really accelerates the fermentation process. Okay, good. So now we have a class on how to make dough rise without yeast. Good, sourdough. The problem is, and the Mishnah pointed out to this yesterday, is that by Menachos, it's not that simple. Because by Menachos, you have to worry about a shear. You need a certain amount. You need a certain amount of flour. How much flour do you need? An isaron's worth of flour in order to get the fermentation to go.
11.
So how...
These are chametz stick?
We are now talking about the two exceptions. The Shtei HaLechem and the Lach Metoda. So how do you go through the process? So if you remember back to yesterday, in the Mishnah provided to us two approaches. The approach first of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, Hasa'or bo de la mitochan o mechamtan. So you take a little bit of dough from the flour that you measured, you let it start fermenting, you put it back in, and you let it ferment inside. That is the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda says, no, you can't do that. That's not so good. Because if it's not a piece of dough that's been fermenting for a long period of time, if it's not real good sourdough, you're not going to get a good fermentation process. So Rav Yehuda says, so now I'm telling you what you shouldn't do. So Rav Yehuda gives us his suggestion, which is, maybe it's a sa'or, venos na l'sor chamida. You're going to bring sourdough from home. Okay, a piece of dough that's been sitting and spoiling for some time, you're going to bring the sourdough from home, you're going to put it into the bowl, you're going to fill the rest of the bowl with flour, and umemale es amida, and you fill it with flour, and that's how you make, and that's how you get to an isaron. So amrulo, so just finishing up the Mishnah, so the Mishnah says, that's also not going to be good. They say to him, right, the Chachamim attack Rabbi Yehuda, and they say to him, "Af hi aisa chaser o yisera." Now, what Rashi back in the Mishnah, the way he explained it to us is like this. I'll tell you what the problem is. When the Torah tells us that you need nisaron, you need exactly a nisaron, not more than a nisaron, and not less than a nisaron. If you take a sourdough ball from your house and you put it into the bowl, and then you lay the flour on top of that, you don't know the density of that sourdough ball. You don't know its density. It may be packed, or it may be actually a very light density. So what's going to happen now is that had that volume of that sourdough ball been just flour, you would have had nisaron. But now that instead of it just being flour, it's a sourdough ball, it may be denser, or it may be less dense. And so now when you look at that isaron, it may not be an accurate measurement of an isaron because of the density of that sourdough ball. So the Gemara says, so Rav Yehuda, so what did you just do? It may be less or maybe more than an isaron, and the measurement has to be as precise as possible.
But why not taking the isaron and from the isaron making the sourdough?
The Gemara is about to suggest that. Okay,
very right?
Well, yes, but Rameyer says take it out, let it ferment a little bit, and put it back in again.
So it would be the same size.
Wait, just 1 second. Okay, wait, just 1 second. The Gemara is about to entertain your consideration. Okay, so now we're on the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and this really begins our daf. So Rameir Amar Ayyadei Kassiz, I'm sorry, what did I just do? Rameir Omer Hasor Bodelahem Mitochan Umechamza. My Chaser Yesera, so Amar Avchista, Isa Sasor Ava, Nimsa Yesera. Mida Sayisaron Raka, Nimsa Chasera. Okay, so back to what I said back in the Mishnah. Rashi, in fact, over here says, look back to what we talked about in the Mishnah. The problem is the problem of density of that saradobal. Sof sof ki kakayo li isaron kakayo. So the Gemara says, who cares? Meaning, what's the difference? Sof sof, bottom line is, you put the sourdough bowl in, you put the flour over the sourdough, and you're going to get to an isaron. What difference does it make? Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'Ami Tavayo l'chmo shehen shehin haisa misha'arinan. No. When you measure, you have to measure based on what it could be. Not what it is, but what it could be. In other words, if that sourdough bowl wasn't there, and it just been flour, that's the precise measurement that we're looking for. But now that the sourdough bowl is there, and that sourdough bowl is a mixture of flour and water, and you don't know how dense the flour is in that area of the bowl, in the volume of the bowl. So it may be more, it may be less. And because of that, you simply don't have an exact measurement of an isaron. Okay. The Gemara now says, okay, we have two opinions in our Mishnah. We have Rav Meir and we have Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir's first opinion is take a little bit out and put it back in again. According to Rav Yehuda, bring the sourdough from home. V'lishko portamine, v'lich metzei me'avrai. So the Gemara says, I don't understand essentially what Hedy just suggested, which is take a little bit, in other words, measure the isaron, take a little bit of the flour out, be mechametzit outside, me'avrai, and then after it got good and fermented that sourdough ball, then put it back in again. Okay, why is the Tanaim of our Mishnah not looking at what probably is the most logical position, which is if the problem is the problem of shear, get your shear, then take a little bit out, ferment it outside. Now when the Gemara says ferment it outside, so Rashi Nishko portamine la'achar shemadad isaron salas, after measuring it, an isaron of the flour, v'nich metzei avrai. Rashi over here writes, b'makom chamimus. Right? In other words, in order to get it good and fermented, so put it in a warm place, right? O yitmenenu be'isa mechumetzes. Or buried it under a dough which is already fermenting, and this little bowl that you put underneath is going to ferment together with it. And then throw it back in and let it ferment. So why doesn't the Tanaim suggest that? The Gemara's answer is it's a gzera de rabbanan. The problem is that once you are fragmenting the isaron and you're taking a little bit of it away and you're putting it somewhere else and you're bringing it back, so now let's look at the way Rashi explains it, let's look at our casual observer, right? The guy who's sitting there in the Beis HaMikdash and looking in and saying to himself, everyone see what just happened? Right? We had a mincha offering, and because it's the Shtei HaLechem, or because it's a Lachmei Toda, so you know what they did? They added. Because I saw, here's what I saw today, I'm reporting, I saw in the Beis HaMikdash, somebody come from somewhere else and add to the Isaron. Now he doesn't have the full story, our casual observer. He doesn't know that it was taken from here to begin with and taken away and allowed to be fermented somewhere else and brought back over here. He didn't know all that. All he saw simply was somebody adding to the dough. If you will, it's kind of like Marasayan. It's not really Marasayan. It's more just simply, he only has half a story, and when you only have half a story, you're going to walk away with an erroneous conclusion. He's going to think that by the Shtei HaLechem and by the Lachmei Toda, you're allowed to add to the shear. So it's a gzera. Gzera demas l'asuyeh ma'ama. Period. And the Gemara says, and that's it. And that really is why the Tanaim of the Mishnah, meaning apparently everybody knew this, and the Tanaim of the Mishnah therefore have to deal with understanding that you can't take a little bit away and ferment it elsewhere and bring it back again. So now that that's not an option, so what are your two options? So Rav Meir says, you got to somehow try to ferment it within the dough itself. I'm not really sure, according to Rav Meir, how exactly that works. Okay? Or Rav Yehuda says, bring a ball of dough from your own house and mix it from the beginning with the isaron of dough, but then you get to the problem of density, which is why the Chachamim ended up rejecting Rabbi Huda's position.
What's the problem with my adding? When in the past we read that if somebody's isaron is sufficient, you can go back at home and bring more.
Marasayan is not the right word. I shouldn't have said it. It's not really an issue of Marasayan. It's just that when people see it, they will walk away with false conclusions. They'll think that when it comes to the...
Can think there was the fish and there was that.
Okay.
It's only the Kohanim.
It's part of Marasayan. Marasayan is two things. It's Marasayan is that, the leading people to false conclusions, or two, having people think that what you're doing is wrong. Okay. Either way, the basic point is they're going to see it, they're going to think you're adding to a mincha, and okay, they'll say to themselves, it's a chametz mincha, you're allowed to add. Okay, yes?
Mincha is matzah.
No, we're not talking about matzah. We're talking about the two menachos that becomes chametz.
In addition to it,
for Shavuot.
The two loaves of Shavuot and the 10 loaves of the Toda. Okay, we're not talking about matzah right now. Tanu Rabbanan ein machmitzim betapuchim. In order to create chametz, you can't use apples. Now, apparently, the acidic nature of apples is such that it created some sort of fermentation process, but according to the Tanakhama, it doesn't work. It doesn't work out. It doesn't work out well enough. That seems to be Rashi's pshat. Rashi on the bottom of the page says, "Delohave chametz ma'alya." It does create the apple and the apple, and the acidic nature of the apple does create a little bit of fermentation, but not enough. It's not good enough.
Enzymes are on the surface of the apple.
On the surface area. Okay, good. Betapuchim, I'm sorry, betapuchim. So Mishum Rabbi Chinen ben Gamliel Amru Machmitzin, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, oh, you could do it. It's good, and you can do it, and it'll create chametz. Rav Kahana Masnila Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, and when Rav Kahana taught us this brisa that we just learned, so instead of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, he has Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, one of the Asura Haruge Machas. Okay. Just a tweaking of Rav Kahana. This does take us to a very long Tosis over here, which we're not going to go through right now. But just be aware, it starts on the Gimel Amud Beis, Eimach Mitzvah Shtei Lechem VeChalav Toda B'Tapuchim, and the discussion of Tosis over here. It's very halacha l'maisa, very practical halacha. If I mix fruit juice with flour or any grain, but let's talk about wheat flour. If I mix fruit juice with flour, will it become chametz? From the brisa we just learned, the answer is yes. It will become chametz. The Tanakhama's position is, not great chametz. Good chametz, but not great chametz. Mm-hmm. And for the Shtei Alechem, for the Lachmei Torah, we want really good chametz. So, and according to the second opinion, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it's really good chametz. The answer from the brisa is, yeah, it becomes chametz. And meanwhile, what Tosfos struggles with is the Gemara Pesachim says that if I were to mix, instead of water, a fruit juice together with flour, it does not become chametz. Does not become chametz. And so what Tosfos spends a lot of time trying to figure out is how our Gemara Menachos says that fruit juice and flour does become chametz, according to both opinions. It just happens to be that according to the Tanakhama, it's not great chametz, but it's still chametz. And meanwhile, the Gemara Pesachim says it does not become chametz, and Tosfos spends some time trying to figure out how to reconcile the two Gemaras together. Okay.
Yeah. Fruit juice, it stops it from being bread. It has
mezonos. In terms of a bracha, so it's going to be mezonos, but that's not a chametz issue. Meaning, let's put it this way: if it's not chametz at all, we're still going to make hamotzi. We're still going to make hamotzi over matzah. It takes us to another place in the areas of halacha about what is the difference between mezonos versus hamotzi, right? If it's a thin cracker, the point is that the bracha itself does not going to reflect whether it's chametz versus whether it's matzah. And it could be...
Maybe he's just talking 100% fruit juice versus fruit juice with water.
Right, that's basically what Tosfos talks about. Right, that's the discussion within Tosfos.
Even 100% fruit juice.
And it's the egg matzah discussion as well. Correct.
Even 100% fruit juice, we don't make matzah out of it.
We don't do it. But in other words, aside from what we do, Tosus deals with how to reconcile the two Gemaras. Our Gemara says it does become chametz, fruit juice and flour. And the Gemara Pesachim says it does not become chametz, and it's a struggle. Tosu struggles to how to reconcile
and
these two Gemaras.
One of the ideas is that one is talking about 100% fruit juice and one is talking about half and half.
Right. The Tosu's basic approach, okay, see inside for much of the discussion, his basic approach is fruit juice by itself does not create chametz. If it's just pure fruit juice and flour, it does not create chametz, as opposed to fruit juice and water and flour, which is what we're talking about over here. In fact, Tosu says, Tosu says that a careful reading of our Gemara would indicate that that water is added, because as we're going to talk about in just a moment, we talk about adding the fruit juice to the dough. No, dough is not flour. Dough is flour and water. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Kaman Azla Hadanan. We have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah in Shumos reads like this: Tapuch Chirisco, if I take an apple and I grind up the apple, so now I got basically applesauce. Venasna Besocha Isa. Now the Mishnah over there is talking about the following scenario, where the crushed apple is an apple of Truma, it's a Truma apple. And I crush it and I mix it into dough and it causes the dough to rise. Okay? In the world of Halacha, this is called a Ma'amid. Ma'amid means that it provides. Right, it stands it up, literally stands it up. Right, it was an active force, it was an active enzyme in the rising of the dough. It is prohibited. The word prohibited over here doesn't mean asur, meaning like nobody can eat it. But the word prohibited over here means that we're going to treat the entire dough like truma. The apple was truma, the apple sauce from this apple used to ferment the dough is a ma'amid. It causes the dough to rise. The entire dough now is treated like truma. So you and I cannot eat, the non-Kohanim cannot eat this dough. Keman, who is the author of that Mishnah? Because that Mishnah is essentially telling us that fruit juice causes chametz. So the Gemara says, Keman, Leimer Rabbi Chanina Megam Lilhis. So presumably, after having learned the Braisa that started at the very bottom of the previous page, that says that according to the Tanakhama, fruit juice is not machmitz. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, fruit juice does create chametz. So presumably that Mishnah in Truma, which is an anonymous Mishnah, seems to be going like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. And it's not going like the Chachamim. The Gemara says, no, afilu tamer rabbanan. Nihid chametz gamar lo have, nuksha miyahave. So the Gemara here says straight out, even according to the Tanakhama, it does create chametz, an inferior type chametz, what we call chametz nuksha. Chametz nuksha is just simply an inferior type chametz, but it's chametz. It's chametz nevertheless. In the world of Menachos, we're not excited by it. Because in the world of Menachos, for our shtei lechem and for the lachmei toda, we want superior chametz, right? The Torah says chametz, we want it to be superior. We don't want it to be an inferior chametz. So that's why using apple juice is not going to be good, because it creates not a superior type chametz. But it could very well be that when the Mishnah in Truma is not interested in good chametz versus bad chametz. Chametz is still chametz. So it still creates some sort of fermentation process. So the Mishnah in Truma says that when I have dough, which is fermented and part of the fermentation is helped and assisted by Truma apple, that means that the dough was risen by Truma. And so therefore the entire dough becomes Truma-like. Therefore a non-Kohen cannot eat it. Period. Good. Am Rabbi Lai Elecha Hakasha L'Kmitza Yoster Mimenchas Chote. Okay, somewhat of a tangent right now. We talk about kmitza. We talked about how difficult kmitza is, because kmitza means a fistful, and like we've discussed many times now in Menachos, I have to level off. I level off with the thumb on this side, I level off with the pinky on this side, and I'm left only with the volume contained within my three fingers, that small little hollow hole within my three fingers. Okay, imagine trying to do kmitza with a minchas chote, the mincha of a sinner. Now, note what makes the mincha of a sinner so unique is that there is no oil added. in the mincha of a sinner. So in other words, it's just flour. Now when I say just flour, do I mean just flour, or do I mean just flour and water?
No levana either.
Okay. Interestingly enough, the Gemara is about to tell us that's a machlokas. Okay. Now I don't fully understand. Meaning the minchas chote is consumed by the kohanim, right? It's like a chatas. It's consumed like by the kohanim. How do they eat it if there's no water added?
And they don't.
I mean,
it wouldn't have been cooked.
Like the last thing you do.
That's a neat trick. I'm not really sure. I mean, it's baked or.
If you fry like wheat kernels, you can eat it.
Right. It's like parched. It's like, I guess so. Okay.
It's very rough.
I'm going off a little bit. I mean, I'm wandering a little bit in terms of, you know, just thinking about it. But it's unbelievable. But hikshal kamitza yosemim in chachote. So. So according to the Tanakhama, so now imagine this: how difficult is kamitza going to be if it's just flowers, granules of flour? Imagine that. That's even more difficult. Meaning, if it's flour and oil, or even just flour and water, okay, so they're bound together. The particles of the flour are bound together by the water. So that's fine, meaning that's not so difficult. But if it's just flour by itself, can you imagine that you have to do kamitza when it's just granules of flour? So that's very difficult. And that led into the conclusion of Ein lecha hakasha lekamitza, there's nothing more difficult for kamitza, yosemi minchas chote, more than the minchas chote. Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi amar minchas chote, migabla b'mayim ukshera. And according to Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, no, it's, you don't put oil in it, right? That's for sure we know by the minchas chote. But you add water, so it's going to be what we, regular dough, just without the oil, it'll be flour and water. Lema b'chaka miflagi. So now the Gemara says it could very well be that the nekuna machlokas, that what's at the core issue over here is mar sava kamosha ein masharin and mar sava lachmosha ayu masharin. Okay, this is why this issue comes up over here, because maybe the issue is when you measure, how do you measure? Do you measure at what it once upon a time was, or do you measure as it is right now? And the Gemara now is suggesting that when it comes to the Minchas Chote, we want an Isaron of flour as it is, period. Meaning, and don't add water because the water is going to mess up your measurement. Or no, start with the flour and then add the water. The fact that the water adds to the flour, it doesn't matter. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the Nekudah Machlokas. The Gemara says, no, that's not the Machlokas. Lo. Dekulei Amma Kamosha Hein Misharina. No. You measure it as it is. The Gemara says the machlokas is much more basic than that. We know that the Torah describes the mincha of the sinner as a minchas chareva. Literally, that means dry. It's a dry mincha. Now, when we say dry, dry can mean one of two things, meaning that almost all the other times the Torah requires you to make a mincha, it's flour, water, and oil. Meaning so that the moisture that we describe, the belula b'shemen, the fact that it's wet, so to say, is a function of the fact that you have oil. And maybe the only thing the Torah is trying to tell us when it says the word chareva is, yeah, no oil. No oil this time. But for sure you can add water, or no. Do you take chareva, not on a relative basis, but do you take the word chareva as a very objective? Chareva means dry. Dry meaning dry. Dry meaning no liquid in it whatsoever, neither oil and not even water. Okay? So the Gemara says that's the machlokas over here. So it's interesting. It's such a basic machlokas when you have a minchas chote, when you have the mincha of a sinner, and the Torah says that there's no oil added. And the Torah also describes it as being a minchas chareva. So now, the Gemara over here leaves an unresolved debate as to whether or not you add water to it. Machlokas amarayim, and the Rambam takes the first position, which is that it's no oil, but yes water. Okay, so the Minchas Chote, according to the Rambam, is oil and water, although the Gemara itself does not come to a conclusion on the matter. Tanan Hasam. Okay? And now it's going to lead us to really an exciting topic in halacha about measuring. In that, now usually I don't use the word exciting and measuring in the same in the same sense. How exciting can it be? But essentially, no. The Gemara is going to use this as a springboard to have a discussion about when we talk about shear, when we talk about measurements, do we look at it as it once upon a time was, or do we look at it as is? Do we look at it at the here and now? Tanan Hasam, we'll give an example. We have a Mishnah. Basar Egel Shenidpach. You have veal, right? Young calf meat, right? We call veal. And it blows up, right? The meat is subject to expand, okay? Ubasar Zekena, or the meat of an old animal, shenit ma'ech, and it shrivels, mishtarin lechamo shehein. The Mishnah in Uksan says that when they're measured lechamo shehein. Now, how do you learn that Mishnah? This is a Mishnah in Uksan. Uksan's a little masecht at the end of Taharos, Seder Taharos. What exactly does that Mishnah mean? Now, first of all, just so everyone understand that when we're talking about measurements over here, why are we measuring? What are we measuring here for? Simple issue of Tumah Tahara. Meaning that for food to be subject to Tumah, it has to be of a certain shear. The shear for food is the size of volume of an egg, right? The shear of a kibbetza. So in order for it to be subject to Tumas Ochlin, food Tumah, the volume has to be the volume of an egg. And so the question is, what happens when the food, specifically veal, which expands, right? I don't know if anyone has any experience with veal expanding, or, right, what usually happens is that it contracts. So when I look at it, do I look at it at what it once was, or do I look at it at the here and now? So the Gemara says this is a machlokas. Now we have a Mishnah in Uksin, but what there's going to be now is a machlokas between the Amoraim in terms of how to understand that line of Mishnah. Rav, Ravichia, Rav Yochanan, Amri, Mishtarin, Kemos Shehin. You look at them, Kemos Shehin, like they once were. Right?
As they are now.
Okay, I apologize. As they are now, Rashi, Demashma Kamoshehin Achshav, Uvasara Egel Tameh, Hol the Achshav Yeshbo Kebetza. So that means the veal that expanded, if after expansion it's now over the volume of an egg, it's subject to Tumah. The older meat, which now shrunk, even though at one point it was the shear of a Kebetza, now it's smaller than that, it's now going to be Tahor. So the opinions of Rav, Rav Chia, Rav Yochanan is that you look at it at the here and now. Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, V'Reish Lakish Amre, Mishtarin, Lichamos Shehein. Right? Or we'll change the girsa? Is that what the Bach does?
Yeah, the Bach changes it.
Okay. Lichamos Shehayu, we'll look at them as once at what they were. Okay. Basic Machlokas Amorayim right now. You look at them at the here and now, or do you look at them as there once was? Meisvei, the Gemara says, wow, this is really a machlokas between the Amoraim? Well, how about this? Consider the following. The Basar Ego Shaloha Yubak Kashir V'Tafach V'Amar Kashir Tahor L'Sha'avar V'Tameh Mikanu L'Haba. So you have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah reads, the Mishnah, it's a Braisa, and it reads that when you have veal meat, which did not have the shear of a kibbetza, expanded to the shear of a kibbetza, it's the Braisa says, and it says it in very clear terms. Before expansion, not subject to Tumah. After expansion, now subject to Tumah. It can't get clearer than that. The Gemara's suggestion is Midrabanan. Yeah. That Braisa is only speaking on a rabbinic level. Min HaTorah, you work with what it once was, not what it is right now. So the Gemara says, that's a difficult pshat. Really, that's the pshat that we're only speaking on a rabbinic level. The same point is made by Pigol Noser. By Pigol Noser, we know Those are isurei kares. Those are isurei daraisa. If somebody consumes carbon that became pigel, or carbon that became noser, he'll be chayv kares. This that operates on a daraisa level. There is no such thing as pigel noser on a derabbanan level. So you can't tell me that the brace is operating only on a derabbanan level. Iyamar bishlama daraisa hainudika pigel venoser. Eliyamar derabbanan pigel venoser, but derabbanan miika. You don't have pigel noser on a derabbanan level. Ema, the Gemara says, okay, maybe what we'll suggest is like this. V'chein b'tumas pigel, v'chein b'tumas noser. Oh. By pigel and noser, you're right. That works, operates on a daraisa level. And only on a daraisa level. But maybe the Bryce is talking on a derabbanan level. How does that work? Because Rashi tells us, we learned in the Gemara in Pesachim, pigel and noser, are they tame or are they not tame? Min ha-Torah, pigel and noser are not tame. It's not an issue of tumah. It's an issue of you're not allowed to eat it. But not because it's tameh. It's because they are disqualified. So the issue is, by pigel and nosar, it's just an iser achila. The Chachamim said, you know, we want to keep the Kohanim away from it. So you know how we're going to do it? We're going to slap a tumah derabanan on pigel and nosar. So maybe when the Bryce is talking about pigel and nosar, it means the tumah derabanan on pigel and nosar.
What if the Bryce is saying that it's kashahayu or kashayu?
That's subject to a debate.
So the next Bryce.
The next Bryce says, from this point forward, we're going to treat it as if it's tumah. But now what the Gemara is saying is that min ha-Torah, in order to defend those Amoraim who say we only look at what it once was and not what it is now, in order to defend those positions, we're going to say that the Braisa is only talking about a derabbanan level. And what about the fact that the Braisa says pigel and noser? That's talking about the tumah derabbanan of pigel and noser. The tumah noser derabbanan who kulei hai b'derabbanan lo av b'derabbanan kamash malan. So, and I might have thought that since the tumah of pigel and noser is the Rabbanan, so now think about it, because what we're doing is we're layering a Rabbanan on top of a Rabbanan, meaning one Rabbanan is already the idea that it gives off tumah. On top of that, now, because it wasn't even the size of a kibbutz, and now it blows up and expands to the size of a kibbutz, and you could have made a really simple argument, and you could have said, look, the fact that it's even tummy to begin with is only din derabbanan. And now on top of that, it's only now a shear because it expanded. And really fundamentally, I look at what it once was and not what it is right now. That's another derabbanan. You want to layer one derabbanan on top of another derabbanan? The Gemara says, I might have thought, we don't do that. So kamashma, the chiddush is, no, even here we'll layer one derabbanan on top of another derabbanan. Okay.
That's a big
and one. Right. And,
even if it's top of mishir, it's still pigel.
Right, because pigel, the sheer pigel is a zayas.
Obviously, it's still osur to eat. Even
still osur to eat. It's just a tumah derabanan, won't apply until it's the sheer of a kibbutz.
But then we're going to add something in addition.
Even though it was a kazayas and now expanded to a kibbutz, and even though fundamentally we only look at what it once was, we're still going to say that it's tummy. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Continuation tomorrow of this discussion of how do we measure what it once was or versus what it is. Okay, more to discuss on this.